Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm John Batsu with Michel Paradis. His new book is The Light of Battle. I highly recommend it because this is the story of the planning. Plans are useless, but planning is essential, is a paraphrase of Eisenhower's. And he was a planner, knowing that when you actually meet the enemy, everything goes wrong. Absolutely everything. And it does. They want to go on the 5th, which means they're going to make their decision on the 4th. Southwick House, forward-based. Eisenhower has a headquarters. Michelle tells this charming little story where he comes back from a meeting away, K-driving, and he sees that his whole headquarters have been camouflaged so you can't see anything above 500 feet, but he's enraged. Who wasted all that time camouflaging my headquarters? And the only excuse they could come up with is that it was a training exercise. Okay, so Ike is Ike right to the end, but he's got very anxious. To yell at camouflage is tense. However, we're in the Southwick House on the 4th. There are two meetings a day. I get lost in the time. Eisenhower's getting up very early. They play bridge all night until the next meeting. The 4th is when they have to make the decision, and Stagg comes in the room, and what does he tell them, Michelle?
He tells them that a storm is coming and is about to tear through the English Channel, which will make the D-Day operation impossible or a disaster. It's ultimately Eisenhower's choice that the cloud cover will be down to 500 feet. The visibility will be, the fog will be so dense that the visibility will be virtually nil, so they won't have any support from the ships at sea. And the men who are going ashore, if they're lucky enough that their landing craft don't capsize in the wake, they'll be so seasick and disoriented by the time they get ashore that they'll be very easy pickings for the Germans. In other words, Stagg says there is a storm brewing, which is all the more, let's just call it implausible or insane seeming, because at that very moment, southern England was probably having the nicest weather it had had in 10 years. Blue skies, sunny, warm. And they're being told that if you launch right now, as planned, that you're going to be heading into a disastrous storm.
And they keep asking the commanders in chief, so that, are you sure, Stagg, can you give us an opening? Look, it's blue sky outside. No, but can't do it. Stagg is not definitive. He's a meteorologist, but he does say that you're launching into a storm. I think the quote was, these conditions in June resemble more January conditions. So they're going to meet again that night for a final determination, because the paratroopers have to go out at midnight. They meet again, and herein Montgomery rises to the challenge. Eisenhower hears the same report. It's getting even worse than it did earlier in the day. And Montgomery, Michelle, it's hard to like Montgomery, but it's hard to dislike him, too. He's always a character. Go, go, says Montgomery. He doesn't care what the weather is. He's ready to go. But I think that's the most difficult call Ike made, to call it off that night, not knowing whether they're going to have a window the next day. Can they go all the way to the 7th? I don't remember. Was the 7th discouraging because of the tides?
No, so they could launch the operation from the 5th to the 7th, but if they called it off again, just given the logistics of turning everything around and also having a situation where you had two low tides in the same day, so they could have two waves of the invasion onto the beaches amidst all the obstacles the Germans had put down, they would have to wait really until the end of June to do it again, which predicted all manner of disaster. Not only would they have less time to fight that summer before the winter came, and we know how bitter that winter ultimately does become. The odds of just leaks of other catastrophes, of disorganization, of who knows what happening, the Germans just reorganizing in Normandy are ever present.
Michelle corrects me correctly. It's low tides they wanted. it made the beach possible, but you had a kill zone that was much bigger, but you still could get your ships in, not being torn apart by the underwater obstacles and the mines that were planted in the beach. All right, the fourth doesn't work, and Eisenhower and Kay and Butch and Maddie, the family, go back, and what do? They play bridge. James, the only thing your book, you've got such wonderful detail. I kind of wanted to know the bridge score, but they're playing and drinking and smoking all day. And then they start again the next day. And is the weather changing? What does Stagg tell them in the first meeting?
Sure. Well, by now, Stagg's prediction has come true. And the clouds have picked up. The wind has picked up. It's beginning to pour rain. And it is looking like they're going to have to delay the invasion another month. And so they go to Southwick House yet again for a briefing from Stagg on the weather. And Stagg says, just as improbably as he did, you know, the previous day, there's going to be a gap in the weather. Our measurements deep out into the Atlantic show that the storms that are currently whipping through the channel will briefly be pulled out into the Atlantic for a window of, you know, 24 to 48 hours from June 6th to June 7th, in which you'll have the conditions that you need to launch the invasion.
I believe the word miraculous is used. Do I remember that correctly? I mean, I think the good weather comes out of Scotland. I can't remember where it came from. It was a front that blocked the bad weather. And though
It was essentially a much larger storm that, because of American and British naval dominance in the Atlantic, they were able to detect. There was this massive storm in the Atlantic that essentially operated like a vacuum and sucked the storms out of the channel into the Atlantic and created this window in which the channel would, in essence, be protected from the smaller storms that were sort of tearing through it.
That's the briefing early in the day. They then go back to their lives. The sun comes up, and it's terrible weather. It's raining, it's pouring, it's blowing. And accidentally, it fools Rommel, because his wife's birthday, he has bought a pair of shoes for her in Paris. And you all know this scene from The Longest Day. He looks at the weather and says, "They'll never go now. Good heavens, look at the weather." And he drives back to Germany. So Rommel's not present for the event itself. But they're going to meet again in Southwick House that night. And here is the moment that Michelle takes us right to as Ike goes around the table. Stagg comes in and says, "You have 24 to 48 hours. Everybody's ready to go, but the air needs this. The Navy needs that. The ground forces need this." And Montgomery, what is his opinion, Michelle?
Go. It's always his opinion.
But Eisenhower is the decider. And herein lies Michelle's excellent research. What does Eisenhower do? What does he say, Michelle?
Yeah, so he's sitting there in Southwick House. It's 4:30 in the morning. You know, everyone is exhausted. The rain is just raking against the windows. The wind is howling around, you know, this old English manor house, as anyone who's ever been in an old English manor house knows that it can. And he just looks at all of his commanders silently in a moment that people felt like 10 minutes or something, but it was probably just 10 seconds. And then just says, "Okay, let's go." And like that, like a coach, you know, telling his team to get on the field, it's that. And everyone rushes out. He's there sitting alone with the weight of that decision resting on his shoulders, knowing that, you know, he could be wrong, and it could be a complete catastrophe.
And that is the moment to mention that he played opposite Jim Thorpe in college. When was that?
That's right. So Eisenhower had a very successful early career as a football player on West Point's squad. He was known as a line smasher. And in a very, very famous football game that has been written about and storied about many, many, many times, is the famous Army-Carlisle game, in which a young Jim Thorpe just destroys the Army football team, which was quite good at that point. And he even gives Dwight Eisenhower a concussion. And just they crush Army. I think Army gets 3 points. I think they get a field goal, but they may get one touchdown and are just destroyed.
And so we mentioned my reading and Michelle's writing that there is a moment to think, to thank James, Jim Thorpe, for Eisenhower's "Okay, let's go," on the moment that he sends D-Day, and we know it's successful. But the point is how he made that decision was privately in front of all of his commanders. The book is The Light of Battle: Eisenhower, D-Day, and the Birth of the American Superpower. Michel Paradis is the author. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.